Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that unless people accepted Him, they would all be destroyed. Thus, the merciful Lord accepted the sannyas order. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Kirtanad eva Krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or Lord Krishna's name, one is liberated and goes back home, back to Godhead. Bhagavatam 12.3.51. This Krishna consciousness must be achieved through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One cannot be complete in Krishna consciousness unless he accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates as the only means for success. It is because of these considerations that the Lord accepted sannyas, for thus people would offer him respect and very quickly come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Since Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, inaugurated the Krishna consciousness movement, without his mercy, one cannot be elevated to the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, quite a dramatic statement. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that unless people accepted him as him, they would all be destroyed. Thus the merciful Lord accepted the sannyas order. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, Jagannath Mishra, passed away, till that time, in fact, even when he went to Gaya, the place where he wanted to offer oblations to his father and forefathers on his behalf, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just a Nimai who was making fun of everyone. He was the Sanskrit scholar and very successful as well, because he defeated quite a few great stalwart scholars who had come. And he would also argue with the devotees, you know, about various aspects. He used to defeat them, arguing this way and that way, all in good humor. Even the devotees, Mukunda, Gadadhar, they used to avoid him to that extent. But once he went to Gaya and then offered oblations for his father and then met Ishwara Puri and got his mercy, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart changed completely. He became completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And when he came back to Nadvip, he was a different person. The devotees couldn't believe it. They were thinking, oh, actually they used to pray for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, oh Lord Krishna, you know, this guy is such a scholar, he's so successful, he's so beautiful looking, he's golden in color, he's so attractive. If he becomes a devotee, then a lot of people would take to Krishna consciousness. So we pray that you make him a devotee. So when ultimately they saw the change, they were very pleased that, you know, he became a devotee. And he used to always chant and be absorbed in preaching and reading. And one day, some of his students, when they came, they saw him chanting the name of the gopis. And they were very bewildered. They were thinking, why is he chanting the name of the gopis? You know, there's something wrong. They, of course, did not know or realize the platform that the Lord was on. And so, they chastised him. They said, you should be chanting the name of Krishna, not gopis. Like that. It is not, normal to chant the name of the gopis like that. So, then the Lord chased to basically hit them in his, because he was so absorbed and they had disturbed him, he chased them away. And he was actually, after hitting some of them. So they were also very surprised. And they went and started speaking amongst themselves and amongst the people of Navadvip. And the Lord's name, reputation, was at stake here. I mean, nothing is at stake for the Lord. His fame is always glorious. But he thought that my service, I have come here to basically preach Krishna consciousness. And that would get affected if my reputation was affected, if these people start speaking like that. So he thought that in my state as Nimai, they would not recognize my glories. So I have to change ashram and I have to take the sannyas order. Because at that time in India, people in general used to respect the sannyas order. Even today they do. But today there are so many bogus sannyasis, it is difficult. People's faith has been shaken. So, therefore, even though the Lord was married to his eternal consort, Vishnu Priya, then, and his mother Sachi was there, and he was their only shelter. They were completely dependent on him. And in those days, women, they hardly left the house, It is mentioned, I remember Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj is saying that in those days, he said that he has seen this practically, that women of the house, when they wanted to have, a bath in the Ganges, then they used to carry the women of the house in palanquins. And they used to go to the Ganges and they used to dip the palanquin into the Ganges. So that the women inside, they could have a bath. They used to never come out. In fact, they used to not be seen by anyone else. And therefore, their power, women have this power of chastity, that was intact. So, that way they used to make their husbands powerful. Because the husbands, used to go out into the world, mix with all sorts of people to do the business. And then when they used to come home, there was this nice spiritual atmosphere. Because the women in the house were also very powerful. They never, saw anything untoward. They were at home cooking, looking after the health of the family by cooking nicely, foodstuffs. In the winter, there are special dishes which keep you warm. In the summer, there are special dishes which keep you cool, and for the general health of the body. Therefore, women stayed at home. So, they used to do that and they used to involve in reading the scriptures and creating a spiritual atmosphere so that when men come home after the day's work, they come home to a sanctuary, an ashram, which is what the temple is, like that. So even though his wife, so devoted, so young, she was there, he had to leave her and of course his mother as well, who was old. And he decided to take sannyas because he thought, that unless I take the sannyas order, people would not respect me. And then what is the use? I have come here to basically preach Krishna consciousness. And if that is not taken, my duty is not fulfilled. So even at the cost of, my family, my mother and my wife, whom I would be leaving totally. But he of course made arrangements. He told the devotees, Nityananda, Chandrasekhar, Acharya. He told them to take care of his mother. And of course, Ishan was there, who was as good as family, even though he was serving Sachi Mata, to look after them properly. So the Lord did make arrangements. It wasn't that I neglect them and go away to do my duty. So the Lord made all arrangements like that. And then he took the sannyas order. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see that Lord Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives all advice to Arjun. He, of course, they have come for different reason. Lord Krishna comes for paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkrutam. Because when he came in Dwapar Yug, the world was full of, you know, demoniac kshatriyas ruling and, you know, creating havoc because they weren't enforcing religious principles. And so he came and he killed all the demons and dharma samstarpanarthaya established the religious principles. And he, of course, spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjun. But in his instructions, he is very clear. Don't teach this knowledge to the faithless, he says. And also then in 1867, in conclusion, he repeats again that this most confidential knowledge should not be preached to those who are not austere, who don't engage in devotional service, who are not pure, who are not knowledgeable. And you know, so he sets all these conditions. And that was Dwapar Yug. What to speak of Kali Yug? Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Everyone is a Shudra. So, Shudras don't like austerity. Shudras don't like knowledge. Shudras don't like to be pure and clean. So, we are in a different boat. And still, you know. So, Lord Sri Krishna's basically instructions won't apply in Kali Yug. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. And Lord Krishna, of course, even in his Madhurya Leela in Vrindavan, he's very soft and sweet. In fact, Madhurya means sweetness, so he shows off his sweetness. But that is restricted to his internal associates. Even Lakshmi Devi can't get the mercy because she doesn't have the right mood. Can you imagine? So, even Lakshmi Devi can't enter into Krishna's pastimes. So what to speak of anyone else? What to speak of the ordinary living entities like us? So Lord Krishna's confidential pastimes, they are very much preserved and protected for a select few who are pure, who don't have any material desires whatsoever, who are beyond that, in transcendental realm. Then he chooses to reveal it. But since he knows that, you know, it is very difficult for people of the Kali Yuga to follow these conditions, then he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he doesn't come just like that. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So, he comes along with Srimati Radharani. Of course, Radha and Krishna are one. They are not two separate. But they become separate to enjoy their pastimes, the Madhurya Ras. That's why they become separate. But then they come together as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that we can relish the softness, the love of our mother, Eternal Mother Srimati Radharani, and also the mercy of our Father, Eternal Father Lord Sri Krishna, like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu represents that. And while Lord Sri Krishna, he is the Ras Raj, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings Audarya Ras, magnanimity. So, the select few who could enter Vrindavan and Lord Krishna's confidential pastimes, that is expanded to everyone and anyone with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can see how glorious he is. Rupa Goswami says, Namo Mahavadanyaya. O Lord, you are the most munificent. You have the largest heart. Namo Mahavadanya Krishna Prema Pradayate. And you give the highest. Krishna Prema. Even Lord Sri Krishna doesn't open it to everyone. Golokera Prema Dhana Harinama Sankirtana. This process is not of this material world. It is of the spiritual world. It comes from the spiritual world. Actually, people of this material world have no access to it. But Ratina Janmilo Keneta, but you, Gornita, you brought it from the spiritual world to give it. And you are so munificent that you give it to anyone and everyone. And that is represented by your devotees. And especially your munificence and compassion is represented by Nityananda Prabhu. And we can see that while Lord Sri Krishna's mercy wasn't for everyone, Nityananda Prabhu gave it even to those, Jagai Mada, who hit him. We know the way Lord Sri Krishna treated Ravan and Kumbhakarna, Shishupal and Dantavakra, and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. You know, he gave them chances. And also their liberation was merging into the Lord's existence like that. So, but Lord Nityananda Prabhu, despite being hit, the compassion, his compassion is shown, representing Mahaprabhu's compassion. He gives it to everyone like that. So we should know that we are so fortunate. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes only once in a day of Lord Brahma. A day of Lord Brahma is Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, Lord Sri Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita. That is 1000 yugas. Each yug made up of 4,300,000 of our years. So a day of Lord Brahma is an astronomical 4,300,000,000 years. So that is one day of Brahma. And in that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes only once, and he comes in the 28th yuga cycle, which is in the midst. And that happens to be just 500 years ago. So how lucky we are, how fortunate we are. And then, you know, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and we can see how he empowers everyone. He empowered his Senapati Bhakta, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada came to the West, and against all odds, this is the beauty of the Krishna consciousness movement. You really have to have faith in God to believe in the the progress of the Krishna consciousness movement. Unless you have faith, you won't believe. Because anyone who's worked in Krishna consciousness in any capacity, they know that there's always shortage of funds, shortage of people to help, shortage of competence, shortage of people with the required characteristics. There's a shortage in everything. But just by, you know, depending on Krishna and doing our best, you know, then we get the empowerment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we see that throughout, you know, like Rudra Sampradaya, the Nimbark Sampradaya, is almost non-existent, even though it is one of the four authorized Sampradayas. You know, yes, a part of it, the Pushti Margis, they are there, but it is not followed completely in essence. Their teachings are not followed completely in essence. And the other sampradayas also, Shri Sampradaya and Madhvacharya Sampradaya, they are there, but the knowledge is not spread as much as it is needed all over the world. But this Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya, which is Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, and in which so many acharyas came, you know, they were all empowered. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. You know, for us in Kali Yuga, can you imagine, we now go, hop on a plane, and we go to Vrindavan. We go to all the main temples. We see all the main deities, you know, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govind, Radha Gopinath, Radha Gokulananda, Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Vinod, Radha Madhav, Radha Damodar, Radha Child Chicken. We see all these. These deities are, you know, thousands of years old. And they, many of them are self-manifested, like Sri Radharaman. They have high potency. And all that would not have been accessible to us. Had it not been for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami to excavate these temples. Because the jungles of Vrindavan had taken over, because there was no care. There was no care of these temples. So, it was all a jungle. So, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki Jai Shri Shri Sitama Ramji Lakshmanji Hanumanji ki Jai Shri Shri Gauritai ki Jai Shri La Prabhupada ki Jai. So we can see that has happened by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also he instructed them to write and translate Vedic scriptures in a way that people can understand about the highest rasas. So we know Rupa Goswami, he wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Acharyas later on also, Narottam Das Thakur and all, they wrote these songs which are non-different from scriptural knowledge. And today, like this knowledge, I mean, just imagine, there were no Hare Krishna temples anywhere. You know, we would be in such a position that we wouldn't know all this. It is so difficult. Even after coming to the Hare Krishna consciousness movement, you know, belief in God, we may mentally think that yes, God exists and yes, Krishna is there. But to realize it takes time and it is so difficult. So what to speak of it, all these facilities weren't there, this knowledge which has been given. As we know that even when Prabhupada came, there were so many Gitas and he was not very happy with the standard of translation because they weren't translating as it is. And because that knowledge could mislead people, he then had to write the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So we can see that all this knowledge which is there and the places of pilgrimage which are there and the devotees around us. I mean, in the West, there was, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati sent preachers, but they weren't successful. Some of them had come here, but they weren't very successful. But then, by his empowerment, Srila Prabhupada came to the West and he set up 108 temples all over the world within the 10 years of his span, being empowered by Mahaprabhu. Just going to the West on the power of the holy name and the process of Krishna consciousness with no money, no material facilities as such, even not knowing anywhere there or anyone there. So we can see that the empowerment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there for everyone. And those who came to Srila Prabhupada initially, they were all hippies. But through the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's empowerment, they were able to, you know, do great things. Building, you know, the Juhu temple, for example. That was such a difficult task. But even those devotees who had no management experience, who had no knowledge, and they were 19-year-olds, all young disciples who were basically hippies. But they became managers, they became sadhus, gurus, and they managed everything. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's this audaryam, magnanimity, it not only is for those gurus, those pure souls who have come along with him, but it is for each and every one of us, you know, who are just trying to stick to the process of Krishna consciousness. Just doing that is so difficult. So if we sincerely take it up, then that mercy is available. Anyone can be empowered. Srila Prabhupada said this. So that is there. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he preached this knowledge all over India. Because at that time, India was basically under the jurisdiction of Mayavadi sannyasis. And he had to defeat them and guide India to Bhakti Ras. Now, until Krishna came, even though Krishna enacted his pastimes in the Madhurya Ras, Even until Prabhupada started preaching, very few people, even in India, knew about the real secret or the reality of the Madhurya Ras. The other day, you know, we were thinking of Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj. And even though he was born in a house where mother and father used to read Srimad Bhagavatam every day and Bhagavad Gita and everything, still he had to leave his house in search of a guru, of a bona fide guru. And he went to the Himalayas, from the Himalayas to Cape Cameron, from the north to the south. He went everywhere and he couldn't find a guru. Mostly who he found, you know, Mayavadis or those who were not really following the real religion but were concocting it. And ultimately he thought, Vrindavan is the land of Krishna. Probably I'll find someone there. And because he was so sincere, he met Srila Prabhupada. So we can see that even till that time, this knowledge was not available to everyone. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to come, he brought his associates, chiefly Madhavendra Puri, who was his grand spiritual master. And it was Madhavendra Puri who brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, empowered him to empowered him with this bhakti ras within his heart, where he came to know about the confidentiality of Radha Krishna's pastime. So till then, even with the other sampradayas, no one could enter, even, you know, just reading about Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes. So it was Madhavendra Puri, he brought it. He gave it to Ishwara Puri, his disciples, who then gave it to, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord is all-knowing. But he, to set an example, he says, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upayadeshantite jnanam jnaninastatva darshina. Just try to approach a spiritual master. Because he is a self-realized soul, he can instruct you. And approach with humility and inquire by rendering some menial service. So then the Lord also exemplifies that, and then he gets. But till then, Golok Dham in the spiritual world was unknown to people. We can see that even in Srimad Bhagavatam, because like the other day when I was reading, I was hearing one of classes of, I forget who, and in that he was saying that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote the Navadvip Mahatmya. And in that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that I completely lost the script. I'll come to it. Okay, so the thing is, till that time, no one, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that there was a question raised that, you know, how come if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one can become a devotee, and whoever doesn't recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a demon. You know, this sentence will come later on. If that is true, what about the acharyas who came before him? Ramanuja Acharya, Madhu Acharya, and all of those, you know, were they demons? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in the Navadvip Mahatmya, then no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met the acharyas before. Because they were acharyas, they were his devotees. So he met them before and he told them that this is your task. Because there's a graduation of knowledge. Yeah, so he gives that this is your task, but don't reveal to them about my pastimes. When I come, I will reveal to them the highest. So of course we know that, you know, when there is Dharma Saglani, Krishna comes as Buddha, who is an incarnation, and because people are using scriptures to kill the animals indiscriminately, then he says, forget the Vedas, come to this platform of Nirvana and non-violence towards animals. And once that is established, then Shankara comes and brings them back to the Vedas. but to the impersonal conception. And then Ramanujacharya comes and he brings them, the Sri Sampradaya, to the first taste of Vaishnavism. And then Madhvacharya comes and he expands, you know, that the Lord and us, we are equal in quality. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes with the Abheda Bheda Tattva. He comes and he says, oh yeah, although we are one with the Lord, we are different in quantity. Like that. So, we can see that all this knowledge would not have been available had not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come and taken the steps to establish this order, which has run, actually, you know, 300 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this knowledge was almost forgotten. There were so many upper sampradayas in Bengal who all were actually misusing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhakti ras to actually associate with, you know, women and, you know, sahajiyas who were actually misusing it. And then Bhakti Vinod Thakur came again to re-establish these principles. His son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, re-established it by 64 mutts, Gaudiya mutts all over India, and also opening it up again to anyone and everyone. Because by that time, the caste-conscious brahmanas, they had taken over, stopping the access to it to other classes of men. But then again, he empowered Prabhupada to come. So we can see that at every step, a lot of difficulty has been taken to re-establish and keep the purity of the system and preach it to everyone and anyone. And these dangers will come. We know what happened to the other sampradayas. Yeah? So the same thing will happen if we also don't take care to preserve what Prabhupada has given. And the best gift that we can make to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to just follow the process as he has given under the guidance of the spiritual masters who have come in the line of disciplic succession. And they have written so many verses. They have written so many books. So all this knowledge is available to us. And of course, because it goes on, bhakti goes on in the subtle realm, we still have access to Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and all of them, if we have the sincere attempt, and to all the gurus and swamis in ISKCON. So we can pray to them and we can access their mercy. It is available because it is all dependent on, they are still there overlooking ISKCON, you know, just to pass the mercy. Because that's the job. I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left everything just to show mercy to everyone. Just to show. And Prabhupada, the same story. Each and every one of them. The Vaishnavas are taking trouble, undergoing personal hardships, just to show mercy to the fallen conditioned souls, because this day and age of quarrel and hypocrisy is so dangerous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, unless people accept him, they would all be destroyed. We know that bhuktya bhuktya praliyate, the material world is going towards annihilation anyway. But internally we can see that because for lack of, Prabhupada mentions a godless civilization. So we are living in this godless civilization. And we can see that nothing is going properly. The governments, their laws, you know, you take any aspect of society, everything is degrading fast. So unless the process is revived and kept in its place, then the same thing will happen to this process. So each and every one, we are in a marathon, you know, passing on the baton to the new runners who take that and they run, and then they pass it on to everyone. So that's our job, just to take it and give it to others, like that. So there are a few minutes, I'll stop there. If there are any questions, comments, realizations you would like to share.